Hey there, my fellow thriver, and welcome back to the Trauma Mama podcast, where we talk about what trauma is, how it happens, how it affects our brains, behaviors, and relationships, and most importantly, what we can do about it. I'm your host and Trauma Mama, Alexandra Pratt. So, in our last episode, I said that we would be talking about a type of trauma. I was going to cover child abuse, but something else is happening to us now around the world. With COVID-19, we are experiencing a pandemic, and that's a really traumatic event, a collective experience that is different for other people, but we're all going through it at some level, trying to protect ourselves. So in this episode, I'm going to talk about how we can cope. I'm going to share some of the CDC recommendations for managing stress and anxiety. And then I'm going to dive deeper into a dialectic behavioral module called distress tolerance. It's something that I learned in my own therapy, and I'd like to share with you because it's really practical advice and things that you can do in the now while you're feeling this extreme discomfort. For some people, this means being out of toilet paper, not being able to go to the bar and see your friends. Maybe you've been sent home from work and you're working from home. While for other people, it's a lot more serious. They haven't just been sent to work from home. They can't work from home. Their businesses have been forced to close due to our governor in California trying to keep us safe. But now a lot of us are facing serious questions that we didn't think we'd have to face. We're wondering how we're going to pay rent, if we're going to have a job when this is over. And we don't have answers for those questions. Some people who don't work in the industries that are closing, such as bars and restaurants and other non-essential businesses, they're still losing their jobs and unsure what their life is going to look like in a month. Most of us work really hard, paycheck to paycheck, to make ends meet. And missing even a day of work puts our circumstances at home under pressure. Some of us are parents that now have kids at home. Kids that are really young or need a lot of support right now that we might not have the bandwidth to provide because we're stressed out, we're unsure, we're working really hard, and we can't give all of our attention to those around us. So the first rule of coping with COVID is to take care of yourself first. I'm not saying be selfish. Do not run to the store and buy everything up. No, I mean self-care, self-preservation, taking care of yourself throughout the day when you notice that this stress is impacting your emotional state and your physical state. We got to check in with ourselves. And though it can be hard to tell exactly what we're feeling, it's important to understand what we are feeling. Are we feeling scared, panicked, angry, confused, concerned, or we may be feeling nothing at all? And that's our body's way of protecting ourselves from the overwhelming emotions that we are going through. And I'm here to tell you that no matter what you're feeling or not feeling, I want to remind you that it's okay, that it makes sense, that it's valid. So let's check in. How are you feeling right now? Does it come in waves? Are you better at some points in the day? I recommend leaning into noticing when you are feeling okay and celebrating that. And when you are not feeling okay, realizing that you will get back to a calmer state again, that you can tolerate this distress. So maybe you're overwhelmed and you don't even know what you're feeling. Let's check the four signs of our bodies. Let's check our cognitive, our emotional, our physical, and our behavioral state. Are you feeling stressed? Cognitive signs of stress are forgetting things more often, having trouble concentrating, feeling confused, and having difficulty making decisions. Emotional signs of stress are feeling anxiety and anger, overall irritability, or a lot of guilt, sadness, or depression. During this, I feel like I've had a lot of guilt about the things that I'm doing. Like today, I had to go to a pet store to help these cats that I volunteer for. We had two cats left, and every Saturday I go to clean out their condo and have them socialize with people in the store. Obviously, today's mission was a lot different, but I felt really guilty about having to go. We're on a lockdown here in California and told to stay in as much as possible. Thankfully, we were able to find both of the cats that are still in our care, a foster home, and we sent them home, cleaned their condos, and we said, see you next time on the other side of this. But it's okay to feel anything or nothing at all. It's all okay. Don't tell yourself, I shouldn't be this upset. I shouldn't be this. I shouldn't be that. I should do this. I should do that. What we need to really do to help lessen our emotional and physical reaction to these intense emotions is remove all judgment from ourselves, from our experience. Should this, should that? No. Let's rephrase it. Should we stay inside? Yes. But should we force ourselves to feel guilty about having to go outside to fulfill a essential obligation? No. Or to go to the grocery store and get ourselves something we need, buying a roll of toilet paper? No. So instead of saying should, let's replace that with a non-judgmental statement. A physical sign that you're feeling stressed are muscle aches, headaches, nausea, shortness of breath, and even a stomach ache. Behavioral signs of stress include irritability, as we mentioned, trouble sleeping, or sleeping more than normal, excessive worrying, crying, withdrawing from activities you like to do. So if any of those cognitive, emotional, physical, or behavioral signs seem to apply, let's talk about ways that we can help reduce the stress and anxiety that we're having in these extremely difficult and unsettling times. First and foremost, it's really important to, like I mentioned, be aware of how we're feeling and pay attention to our physiological experience. Sometimes we feel things before we can think them, and this is very true when going through a traumatic event. And I mentioned in the beginning of this episode, but I want to reaffirm for anybody who needs to hear this again. This is a traumatic event. what we're going through, whatever scale you're going through, this chronic stress that we're experiencing collectively is trauma. In the morning, we might be waking up with an immediate sense of anxiety or disequilibrium, simply not feel as grounded as we used to. Then it might quickly come to us the thought, oh, I'm not going to my office today. My kids aren't going to school. My kids are coming home from college, or I don't know where my next paycheck is going to come from. Around the world, everything is in an uproar. And at the moment when you wake up and you feel this, it's really important to remember, in that moment, lying in bed, you're okay. Nothing dangerous is going to happen to you at that moment. It's really good to go to bed and wake up with a breathing exercise. I like to meditate for at least 10 minutes as I start and end my day. If you don't have time for that, I say count to 10 really slowly. Take 10 really slow, deliberate breaths. Feel how it feels going in, how it feels to hold it for 3 seconds, and how it feels exiting your body. Breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. Anytime you're aware of this feeling of anxiety or stress or panic, these deep breaths can really help calm your nervous system. And so can crying. It's okay to cry. It helps calm your body down. So let's talk about some advice that the CDC is giving us to help lessen the panic and anxiety around the coronavirus that we may be feeling. The first tip is to keep your news consumption to 2 to 3 credible sources for 30 minutes or less per day. Too much news consumption can make your anxiety worse. So if you're feeling overwhelmed by the media coverage, then make an effort to keep it to a minimum. And if you notice that you're most anxious at night and can't sleep, just like coffee, avoid the news a few hours before bed. Don't take it in the afternoon or at night. Maybe just get your daily dose of information in the morning. The next tip is to challenge your irrational thoughts and replace them with facts. And this is actually something that is done in cognitive behavioral therapy, to challenge those automatic negative thoughts. Take out the judgmental statements, the shoulds, the conditions, the descriptions like good or bad, and just leave the facts. So instead of telling ourselves, I'm a failure, I'm not going to keep my house because I've lost my job, instead of saying that to ourselves, let's say, I have lost my job and I'm unsure how I'm going to make the next payment. That's still a really scary sentence to say, but there's no judgment in it. And the more we can remove those disclaimers, the easier it will be for us to remain rational. Let's practice 5 minutes of relaxation each day. Counteract your stress with time spent in relaxation. Take a hot bath, read a book, meditate, breathe deeply, start a puzzle, do some stretching. If yoga's not your thing, just move your body around. Find a free workout online that you can follow along inside. Just 5 minutes a day And the more minutes you can do, the better. Exercise is the best way to remove stress from the body. So relaxation, I just want to tell you guys real quick about something that I came up with in my place this week while practicing isolation. I set up something in my dining room called a happiness corner. In fact, it's where I'm broadcasting now. I've got all the things that make me happy and productive and healthy in this room. I moved the furniture around and cleaned it up and curated things that will bring me a joyful distraction and keep me productive. I've got my yoga mat rolled out, ready to go, so at any moment I can step onto it and stretch and breathe. I've got my meditation pillow, so I can sit down for a mindful sit or a meditation with my little meditative sound balls that I sometimes hold in my hand. I've got my weights set up so I can also use my yoga mat to work out, get my body sweating. On my table, I've put a huge plant because I love plants and I want to look at it, along with my arts and crafts supplies. Watercolor, yarn crafts, drawings. I've got a bulletin board of an outline I'm starting. I'm trying to write a book one day, so I've visually created a bulletin board and an outline, set that up so it can be on my mind to think about and write. I've got my podcast mic here, and something else that I call my COVID journal. And I recommend starting one if journaling has been something that's helped you release and express yourself. I've got a journal all dedicated to the daily events of things happening in my life and how I'm feeling about it and how I'm processing it. I think this is a really profound time in our history, and I want to capture it in my own journal. And it also really helps kind of compartmentalize those emotions, and it puts it into words, which always helps release the experience of the emotion. Now, I don't mean to say compartmentalize my emotions in a way that means I'm pushing them away. I think this journal is helping me put them into their own area so they don't bleed out into everything else in my life, as it kind of is already. So let's keep talking about other things we can do that the CDC has recommended to keep ourselves regulated during this really stressful time. They recommend staying in contact with your support system through the phone, internet, social media, FaceTime, texting, calling, all of those things. Hey, we even have time now to write letters. You know, humans are social creatures, and we don't want to lose ourselves too much in this isolation into loneliness or depression. And though we may be physically alone right now, we are not emotionally and cognitively alone. I know that it's been really a great outcome for me, the relationships that I'm reconnecting and building stronger. Reaching out to people to make sure they know I'm thinking about them and I care for them and I'm here for them. So send an extra message. Call somebody. Engage on a brand post where people are sharing ideas. We're going to get through this together, emotionally and physically, by keeping our distance and supporting our communities, our families, and the strangers around us. And finally, it's really important to pay attention and let go of the things that are not in our control. There are so many things that we can't control about this situation, and that's terrifying. Not knowing if or when we'll go back to work, or when we can start living normal lives, if we'll get the food and supplies we need when we go to the store, if we have the bandwidth to keep it together while everything is falling apart around us. We don't know how long this will last. And for anybody who's got anxiety, not having control over things can make anxiety worse. For a lot of people, routine is really helpful. And right now, a lot of people's routines are being shattered. And it's really hard to deal with that, but we must adapt. And if you're unable to cope with any of your anxiety on your own, and I really encourage you to reach out to your friends and family and to even seek professional help. You may not be able to go in to see a therapist right now, but there's a lot of really great online resources. Like the fact that you're even listening to this right now is awesome. You're looking for that support. And I'm here for you. But there's some even more really helpful resources like texting a therapist, listening to an online group chat therapy group, reading a self-help book. Just one step at a time. And everything you're doing to take care of yourself is really, really great. We have to take care of ourselves first. We cannot help others around us on an airplane that's crashing if we don't have our oxygen mask on first. Remember that. I'm going to say it again. We need to put our oxygen mask on first. Before we can help other people. That means we need to do everything we can to preserve our ability to handle this. We need to be extra good to ourselves. Eat well, sleep well, take more breaks, validate our emotions, set our boundaries, and know that what we're doing is enough. And how we're feeling is okay. So now that I've talked about the basic tips from the CDC on how to deal with this stress, I'd like to go into a special set of skills that I learned in dialectic behavioral therapy. This module is called Distress Tolerance, and it's designed to help you through a crisis. When you're having a breakdown or a panic attack, or you've been majorly depressed for days and weeks. These are the skills that are going to help you get through it. Let's talk about the overall approach first. So in DBT, dialectic behavioral therapy, the idea is that we can either accept things in life or we can change them. So the skills that we learn are geared towards either changing or accepting. And in a time of crisis, we need to accept. We need to practice what's called radical acceptance. Being willing to experience the situation as it is, rather than how we want it to be. And we can't just do this once and then be fine. Our mind returns to the obsessive thoughts and anger and panic and worry and guilt over and over again as we constantly are trying to absorb the new information as this pandemic unfolds. So we need to be repetitively turning the mind. So that's turning our mind back, away from those judgmental and spiraling thoughts, back to our wise mind. Our wise mind is a place in the middle between our emotional and our logical brain. The analytical and the feelings. We need to find a balance. And we turn our mind now to this acceptance. Instead of saying, I wish my kids didn't have to be out of school right now so I could focus on this project. I wish I had money and I didn't lose my job. I wish that I could go see my friends. I wish that I would have stayed in. All these wishes of how things could be different, we need to let go and accept full-heartedly as much as we can, accept and lean in to the discomfort. The sooner we do that, the sooner the emotional experience will go down. I promise you. It's been happening for me. I feel like last week I really had a turning point cognitively where I told myself, this is really bad and it's going to be like this and nothing is ever going to be the same again. And that's okay. This is what's happening. And I don't need to continue to latch on to those stressful thoughts I'm having and the fear. And I can feel the anxiety in my body. I can feel it in my thoughts. So instead of getting on the roller coaster, looking at those emotions and those thoughts and hopping in on the ride and riding them up and down the roller coaster, I'm getting off. I'm taking away the judgment and I'm watching the ride. And I'm observing the ride as it happens in my mind and in my body. So radical acceptance is to presently be in the actual situation you're in, rather than being in the one that you want to be in. Your mind is going to give you other ideas and interpretations, reminding you of old strategies, whether it's helpful or not. And each time your mind wanders, you can practice turning the mind, bringing it back to the radical acceptance. Two tips from DBT for practicing radical acceptance and telling your body that it's okay. The first skill is called willing hands, and the other one is called half smiling. So willing hands is when you open up your palms. You open up your palms upwards, wherever you are. Maybe they're on your lap, up in the air, or down by your side. But you make the choice to open up your palms and practice willing hands. This actually tells your body that you're accepting the moment. And I do this when I get upset or when I get scared. I even do this in the dentist. I'll have my palms up. And my dentist actually came in and laughed and said, "What are you doing? Are you begging for money?" And I said, "Nope, I'm being mindful and I'm practicing willing hands." The next one is called half smiling. And that's also something you do physically with your body. You just ever so slightly curl the lips up like a Mona Lisa. You're not really smiling with your teeth or, you know, your whole face. You're just very subtly curling up the corners of your lips to half smile. Very Mona Lisa mode. And again, this tells your body physiologically that you're okay. Now, these might sound really silly and little and minor and like they might not do anything, but I double dog dare you to try this and see what happens. When I do them in combination, like I do a half smile and willing hands, I feel like after a few moments, slowly there's this dark, heavy curtain that's lifting from my mind. I can feel it. I really can. So try those out. So, distress tolerance. There's like four main parts. And these are skills that we can use when the situation is really difficult or impossible to change. Hello, global pandemic. Perfect. Okay. So we're in a crisis and these are going to help us to cope with the short-term or long-term physical and emotional pain. It includes mindfulness of breath, mindful awareness of the situation and of ourselves through the four main skills: distracting, self-soothing, improving the moment, and focusing on the pros and cons. So skill number one is distracting. And it helps change the focus from upsetting thoughts and emotions to neutral or even enjoyable activities. And they teach this skill in an acronym, which I love. It's very easy to remember. And to help you remember, I've added graphics to this episode's blog on my website. You can find my website at foxinej.com/traumamama. Foxine is spelled Foxine. J is spelled Jay. So again, that's foxinej.com/traumamama, and you'll find a blog for each episode that has the information that I shared. So go there, look for the graphics on these DBT skills to help you remember. So the first one is we are in wise mind, and wise mind accepts. Okay? So for distracting, we're going to use the acronym ACCEPT with an S, accepts. A is for activities. So we'll talk about that in a moment. I've got a lot of activities that you can do. C is for contributing to your household, to your friends, to your neighbors, helping others out. C, comparison. Comparing yourself with your better self. E is for emotions. Generating a different emotion by watching a movie, a TV show, or listening to music. P is for pushing away, thinking about or putting our attention onto something else. And in this moment, that's okay. That's the point of distracting yourself. T is for thoughts, generating new thoughts by focusing on counting or playing a game or coloring. Doing a mindful grounding activity, like saying 5 things you can see, 4 things you can hear, 3 things you can touch, 2 things you can smell, and 1 slow, deep breath. S is for sensations. Using our 5 senses, such as hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching, that grounding tool that I just mentioned is an example of how we can use our sensations to help distract and ground ourselves. So let's talk about some activities. You could cook a meal. Cook a favorite meal or a new meal. You could work out. Listen to your favorite music or discover new music. Watch a movie. Finally, pick up a new hobby that you've always wanted to try but never had time, like yoga or playing the ukulele. Take a hot bath. Play an instrument that you love or learn to play an instrument. Go for a social distance walk alone outside. FaceTime a friend. Chat online with your family or friends. Go window shopping online. Start reading or continue reading a book. Write a book. Write in your journal. Meditate. Do karaoke from YouTube. Take a nap. Read some comic books. Draw something. Organize something. Clean something. There's so many activities that we can do inside to help distract ourselves. The second skill in distress tolerance is self-soothing. Self-soothing is when we use our senses as a way to calm ourselves. So for vision, self-soothing would be looking at something beautiful, flowers, art, moving water, a beautiful dance performance. Hearing would be listening to music, loud or soft, or enjoying the sounds of nature around you, such as birds chirping, waves crashing, or savor the voice of a relative or a friend over the phone. For smell, you could use your favorite lotion or perfume. Light a scented candle or put on your diffuser with essential oils and close your eyes and really focus on smelling that beautiful smell. Bake something just to smell it. Well, and eat it, of course. And that's taste. The next one is taste. Enjoy a hearty meal. Indulge in a dessert or a snack that you love. Experiment with a new flavor or texture. And finally, our fifth sense is touch. Pet an animal or curl up in a really soft fleece blanket. Put on your favorite sweatshirt or cozy socks that feel really good against your skin. Rub lotion on your body or snuggle up to some warm laundry. Take a hot bath. So these are things that I do all the time. I do self-soothe all the time. And I actually have a box. Along with my happiness corner that I curated last week, I've got a box for distress tolerance. And in that box, it includes things that will help soothe my senses. I have a little jar of coffee grounds that I can smell. I've got some stress balls and slime that I can touch and feel. I have like a fidget cube as well. I have a candle. I have candy that I can eat and taste and focus on the taste. And I tell you, before this whole pandemic thing, I'd be using that box when I was going through a really hard, dark time in my life where just getting through the day was really difficult. And even though all I wanted to do was just cry and give up, I would go for that box and I would touch the damn slime and I'd be like, God, this is not working. And you know what? It did. It did over time. I'd cry for 20 minutes. I'd hold on to the stress ball. I'd take a bath. And I'd cry some more. But eventually I'd stop and I'd be able to get to that next moment of calm and I'd be able to read a book and do some of those activities I mentioned earlier to help distract myself. Okay, so let's talk about the third skill, improving the moment. For this acronym, we use the word improve. And we do this to create positive mental imagery and improve our current situation. So the acronym IMPROVE, the first is imagery. We visualize a safe place. You can do this by looking at a calming video of a fireplace or the ocean or an aquarium. You can close your eyes and visualize a nice place in your mind. You can use guided meditative apps that will help take you to a really happy place that you create yourself. They will guide you to that. M is find meaning in the situation. Right now, you might think this whole COVID-19 situation is just absolutely horrific and there's no meaning to it. Sure. But how can we grow from this? Where's the value in thriving and being resilient? We are not able to change this situation. Therefore, we must accept it and tolerate it. But that doesn't mean we can't grow from it, that we can't become stronger from it. And if you're listening to this podcast, That's your path. You're a thriver. You're going to bloom twice as big after all of these difficulties. P in improve is for prayer. And they just use that so it fits the acronym, but that could also mean positive affirmations to yourself, focusing on spirituality, praying to God, if that's your thing, meditating. All of that is a way that we can help curate positive mental stimulus in our body. R is relaxation. Relaxation can be a combination of self-soothe and distract. It can be taking a hot bath and watching our favorite show. It could be taking a vacation from life and taking a nap for a bit, and then playing your favorite board game with someone you love. Relaxation most definitely should include unplugging from these updates and any responsibilities that might be on your shoulders right now. O in the acronym IMPROVE stands for one thing at a time. One thing at a time. Multitasking is a myth. It's not, we do it all the time. All the time. I do stuff all the time at the same time. But when we're being mindful and living in the moment, we're doing one thing at a time. We can switch gears really quickly, but as we switch gears, our focus is going into that new thing 100%. So, for example, we're cooking. Our focus is on cooking, but we're doing one thing at a time. First, we're going to chop the veggies. Then we're going to boil the water. Then we're going to get the meat out, yada, yada, yada. And as we're doing each of those items that build into this cooking activity, we're being very mindful. You know, how does it feel to wash the vegetables under the water and cut them? What do they smell like? How heavy is the pot that you're moving to the stove? What do you smell as the onion starts to cook? Really paying attention to what we're doing one thing at a time. V in improve is for vacation. Take some time out of the situation. That might just mean step away from the computer for 5 minutes to take an extra breath, to go to your happiness corner and do downward dog and some breathing. It might be a vacation in your bed to take a nap. It might be a nice 20-minute walk, social distance walk, alone, outside, breathing, moving. A vacation away from the situation. So say the situation at home is you're really stressed out about money, your kids are screaming at you, and you have to work overtime. Or any combination of that. You're alone, you're sad, and you need a break from that depression. Dive into something that's going to soothe you. Take a vacation mentally away from the stimulus. For every time you want to check your phone or your email, hold off and do it every third time. Sit with your urge. We are leaning into this discomfort. We're embracing it. We're not trying to change it. We're going to accept it, and we're going to use these distress tolerance skills to get through it. But we're allowed to take a vacation. We're allowed to be distracted. We're allowed to soothe ourselves. This is an extraordinary time, and we need to do extraordinary in taking care of ourselves. This is not going away anytime soon, and we cannot afford to burn out emotionally or cognitively. E in improve stands for encouragement. Positive and calming self-talk. If you're having negative thoughts and judgments about yourself or other people around you, it's time to strip away the judgments, take away the conditions and the shoulds, and to just leave the facts, to allow yourself to feel what you're feeling without being hard on yourself and saying, I should be stronger, or they should be more considerate, or, you know, anything that is a condition or saying it's good and bad, take it out and just say what it is. Practice writing it down. If you're having this thought over and over again, write it down and look at it and take away the judgment and leave just the facts. Write every single one down. I used to do this in cognitive behavioral therapy. I would do automatic negative thought charts where I write down the situation, my automatic negative thought, all the emotions I'm having, and then I'd write evidence for that thought. What makes this statement true? And then I'd have evidence against this thought. What's the proof that shows this extreme judgmental thought is actually not accurate? And then finally, the last step is, what's another way to phrase this, to look at this, to reason with this? The fourth skill in distress tolerance, the module they teach, is focusing on pros and cons. You're asked to list pros and cons of tolerating the distress and not tolerating the distress. So what is the benefit to doing yoga and taking care of yourself? And what are the cons to that? Maybe you don't want to do it. Maybe you're annoyed and you don't value yourself in this moment, and you have a lot of reasons why you don't want to do that. Write them down. That's fine. I've been there. And then write a list of pros and cons for not tolerating the stress. What would be a pro or a con of freaking out right now, having a meltdown, pissing off your partner and being mean by yelling at them? What would be a pro and con of engaging in self-destructive behavior by coping with alcohol and drugs or self-harm or giving up or not showing up to those commitments that we need to continue to uphold? Look at the pros and cons for each of those situations. It'll help you reason with yourself and to realize what the most effective choice is. You could be at your emotional breaking point right now, and maybe the worst has happened, or maybe it was just the last straw. This is the final tip I'm going to share with you when none of this is working and you really are at the point where you can't take this anymore. Before you do something to make the situation worse, before you make a permanent change in your life to a temporary, traumatic, stressful environment, use the skill tip. Again, this is something I've done. I've used this. TIP. It's another acronym. T-I-P-P. TIP stands for temperature, intense exercise, paced breathing, and paired muscle relaxation. The first one, temperature. When we're upset, our bodies often feel really hot. So to counter this, splash your face with cold water. Hold an ice cube. Let the car AC blow in your face or stick your face in the freezer. Changing your body temperature and cooling it down will help both physically and emotionally. Now, to really do this skill super effectively, you want to submerge your face in cold water for 30 seconds. If you can, fill up the sink and put your head down and hold your breath as long as you can under that cold water. That is going to initiate something in your body called the diver's effect. When your face is underwater like that for more than 30 seconds, it tells your body that you're underwater, and it automatically slows your heart rate down to help preserve oxygen for being underwater. So that's a really effective way of bringing down that panic attack that you're having right now. If you can't get to a full sink, hold the ice, put it on your face. I actually have like an ice pack in my fridge at all times that stays cool, so that if I'm freaking out, what I do is I go to my fridge and I grab it, and it wraps all the way around my face, and I put my head down, I stand up, I bend over, and I put my face in it, and I hold my breath, and I hold it there for as long as I can, 30 seconds, to tip that energy down. Next is intense exercise. Do intense exercise to match your intense emotion. You don't need to be a marathon runner. Just sprint down the end of the street and back. Jump up and down in place until you're tired. Lift a few weights, do a few push-ups and some jumping jacks. If you can do this for at least 5 minutes, that'll be great. Increasing your oxygen flow helps decrease the stress levels. And it's actually really hard to stay dangerously upset when you're exhausted. Release your stress hormones through intense exercise. Do some squats. The first P in tip is paced breathing. Even something as simple as controlling your breath can have a profound impact on reducing emotional pain. And there's so many different types of breathing exercises. If you have your favorite, go for it and breathe it out. If you don't have any, try a technique called box breathing. Each breath interval will be 4 seconds long. Take air in for 4 seconds, hold it in for 4 seconds, breathe out for 4 seconds, and hold for 4 seconds before breathing in. That's just one of many little techniques. You can also get a meditative app that has guided breathing exercises. In general, you want to be just slowing your heart rate down, controlling your breath, feeling your stomach rise and fall, paying attention to how the air feels as it goes in your nose and out your mouth. And then you can do the last P. You can do this with the paced breathing. You can do paired muscle relaxation. And the science of this is fascinating. So when you tighten a voluntary muscle and then you relax it and allow it to rest, the muscle will become more relaxed than it was before it was tightened. So you're just laying in bed, and then you tighten your quads and you hold your quads tight for 30 seconds. And as you're doing that, you're keeping your breath in or holding and breathing really slowly. And then you exhale and release the tense muscle. Whew. Feels great. And then move to your butt muscle or your shoulders. Then your hands and your toes. Can you do it with your back and your neck? Move all the way up to your face. Try this technique by focusing on a group of muscles, such as the muscles in your arms or your legs. You can tighten them for 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds. And then let go of the tension. And as you do this, be mindful and aware of your breathing and try to sync it up. And this skill tip, temperature, intense exercise, paced breathing, and paired muscle relaxation will help bring you back and bring you closer to wise mind, where you can make a constructive choice and cope effectively and not make things worse for yourself and not hurt others around you. It's a really scary time right now. And if we practice radical acceptance and we understand that we can tolerate the discomfort and the changes that are happening without our control, we can get through this. We can not just survive, we can thrive. So that's it for today. Thanks for listening. I tried a new approach. I was a little bit more off the cuff and didn't really worry about editing my speech so much. Just wanted it to be a little bit more natural and from the heart. And I really like this vibe, and I hope you guys did too. I want to take a minute to thank the producer of our new theme song, Bay Window, a singer, songwriter, and producer from the San Francisco Bay Area. If you or someone you know is suffering and is in crisis, I recommend that you reach out to counselors at suicidepreventionlifeline.org/chat. There you can chat online with someone right away. Or you can call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. If you don't feel like talking on the phone, you can also text the crisis line by sending the word CONNECT in all caps to 741741. Remember, you're not alone. We can have these conversations together. Keep thriving.